Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Charlie Arnold here. I woke up in a great mood this morning, despite the rain, because we had some incredible news for democracy come down yesterday. Donald Trump will remain on the 2024 ballot, rejecting Colorado's efforts to keep him off. Now, immediately following, Trump posted on his Truth Social account, quote, big win for America. And that it is also a big win. The fact that I got an inside look at the CNN control room when the Supreme Court decision was announced. Watch this. Obviously, I joke, but I have to imagine it wasn't too far off from this. I mean, check out some of the most insane liberals around the country reacting, starting with, well, you know, we have to start with Keith Olbermann. He said this, quote, the Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension, and collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and also legitimate. It must be dissolved. Unbelievable take, and not in a good way. It was a unanimous decision that included three liberal justices. Keith, don't forget. This is way too far a reach, but it gets even better. Listen to Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold's reaction on MSNBC.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able, under our Constitution, to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
First insurrectionist out of your mind. Also, is it just me? Or does the blank stare on Jenna Griswold's face make it look like she's being held hostage? I don't know. Maybe she's secretly a conservative and she's not allowed to talk about it. Anyway, she is correct on one point that, yes, it is ultimately up to the American voters to save our democracy in November. And guess what? That would be in the opposite direction in which she intends. That would be by voting for former President Trump. Now, in my opinion, Vivek Ramaswamy said it best on X yesterday, saying this, quote, today's 9-0 Supreme Court decision needn't be something to celebrate. It's something we ought to once take for granted again. We, the people, decide who governs. The fact that it took the highest court in the land to say it shows how far we have fallen, but it's a good start in the right direction. And quite frankly, this is so true. The fact that Trump continually gets treated like a criminal is the opposite of democracy. Democrats are so scared of losing the election and losing their ability to rule this country in a completely corrupt manner that they will do whatever they can to keep Trump off the ballot. Turn voters off of him, run his bank accounts dry. But guess what? It doesn't matter what they do because Trump only comes back stronger and more popular, and the polls reflect that. It's time for Democrats to realize with this SCOTUS shutdown that the regime has overreached. I know it. You know it. Trump knows it. Now, we do know that Trump still has his work cut out for him, not to mention massive bills to pay. He's got $83 million in the E.J. Carroll case, $350 million in penalties in the New York State business fraud case, and the other big elephant in the room. Trump's still waiting for SCOTUS to determine whether he can be criminally prosecuted for their claim he tried to overturn his election results, which we know is complete BS. Trump is a major threat to Joe Biden, and that's why he's a target. Time to give it a rest. More and more time that goes by, every single voter base is realizing who they need to support. All of the voters that are important to Democrats right now are moving to Team Trump because they can see through the left's dishonest efforts. This isn't democracy, and I commend the Supreme Court for shutting down loud and clear the Democrats' attempt to overturn the United States into a dictatorship. Now, with Trump remaining on the ballot, this means other blue states will have to cancel their plans to try and follow in Colorado's footsteps, which undoubtedly could have included California. But are the tides maybe starting to shift in the Golden State? The Senate seat once belonging to the late Dianne Feinstein is up for grabs, and former Dodgers and Padres first baseman Steve Garvey is running as a Republican. And he's garnering tons of support. And joining me now, former MLB great and current candidate from California for the U.S. Senate, Steve Garvey. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm so happy to be chatting with you. This is not something I expected to be hearing from you as a political candidate, I must say.
Well, not many people did. And then about 9 months ago, ironically, I got approached by both sides to consider running. And way back 35 years ago, after I retired, people thought that I would run. It wasn't the right timing. And you know what I said, because there's not another voice in California, it's a one-party state, that I would think about it. So I started going around the state asking people about their lives, from Redding to Fresno to San Diego to the East. And people were spending 10, 15 minutes telling me their life wasn't the same as it was 3 years ago or 10 years ago. There was suppression at the table in the morning. Mom trying to figure out what she was going to feed the kids that week. Could she buy them clothes for school? Dad going to the gas station, seeing people buy $10 worth of gas and not 10 gallons. Then visiting the homeless in San Diego and Sacramento and Los Angeles. Then visiting the border in San Diego, going from the ocean up to Hunkacumba, which is the big hotspot now, and realizing that that people wanted a voice. They wanted somebody that they know. And, you know, I went to work with 30, 40,000 people every night for 20 years, and you develop a currency with the people because of your hard work and dedication. So I decided to run, and in less than 5 months, we're now ahead by 2 points against my closest competitor, Mr. Schiff, and we can't wait for tomorrow.
So who was it, you said, that exactly approached you and asked you to consider a career in politics? Because as far as I understand, you were never political during your career. So when you were met with this request or this idea, was it something you immediately got excited about?
Well, over the years, Charlie, I used to introduce President Reagan during his campaign. Every year, three or four times a year, I go to Washington with advocacy days for charities and for causes. And so I've always been a foot soldier for our country, for the Constitution, for democracy.
Okay.
And I've talked about it. You know, I feel it's important to talk and have discourse. And in California, there's only one voice, one party. It suppresses the people. And people need somebody that that they know and they trust to run. I decided to run. And it's been amazing, the response to somebody with a common sense, compassionate, consensus-building campaign, who is also running for grace and civility. And how refreshing, people say.
So you just mentioned Adam Schiff in what the polls are reflecting right now. I mean, right now you are in a statistical tie with Representative Schiff, maybe even having a slight edge over him. As a Republican in a blue state, what does this tell you about what's on the minds of Californians?
It tells me that they're tired of career politicians running for a job and running for power and not for the people. And that's what I say. They're running for power and deceit, and I'm running for the people of California. I'll go back to Washington, and I will be the next elected U.S. senator. Go to bat every day for the people. What's good for all the people? You know, my wife said, you know, you never took the field for Democrats or Republicans or independents or libertarians. You took the field for all the fans, and you're going to run for all the people. You're going to be the man of the people.
Okay, well, a man of the people probably includes some people from the sports world. Have you heard anyone speak up in support of you from your sports days or anyone in the current sports landscape who intends to support you in the race?
Well, you know, I played football, Michigan State, and baseball, then Dodgers and Padres, and you know, it's been great. My fellow competitors and my great teammates have reached out and said, you know, Garb, we believe in you. Tommy Lasorda, my old manager, had this. You know, when things got tough, he used to go, you got to believe. So we're doing a campaign where all of my friends, and I want all the people to do it, to go to stevegarvey.com and say, I'm so-and-so, and I believe in Steve Garvey. And I think that's the underlying wave of why we're in this position we are today, a day before the primaries, is that people are stepping up because they believe that I'm a guy that I can trust. And by the way, that picture right there, I was saying a prayer at the congressional baseball game, and that was bipartisan. There were Democrats and Republicans. That's my favorite picture. So, you know, it's a groundswell. People know that I'm a team builder, that I unite people, whether they're tall or short, whether it's Magic or Tommy, you know, we get things done. I mean, that's what we got to get back to in this country. We got to, you know, we're fighting crime at the border. We're fighting, you know, the terrorist cartels coming in, the homeless. We've got to get them off the street and a pathway back to dignity. Mm-hmm. We've got to fight inflation. All these things are at the forefront of what's on people's minds. And that's who I'm talking. I'm talking about those things. And my opponents are talking about running for power again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just led me to my next point, because you mentioned wanting to unify everybody. It's a very tough task in the climate that we're living in today. I mean, people are so... they're on totally different sides of the fence on so many different issues. We have gotten to such a divisive landscape in this country. It's really unfortunate. And you just mentioned the border. I heard you yesterday on Fox News with Maria Bartiromo talking about the importance of securing the border. So I know that's an important topic on your mind. But what else is going to be important to you for you as you start campaigning for this race and hoping that you can turn a blue state a little more red?
Well, people wake up every day and they're really concerned about the economy and inflation. You know, mom going to the dinner table. And, you know, it's interesting. I read an article where more people are having cereal for dinner than ever before. And I love cereal. They do, too. But they also want, you know, beef at the table. You know, they want new, fresh clothes for the kids. All these things are so very important. But I think it gets back to faith and family. I think it gets back to a civility that we have to have for each other. And we need to talk about it. We can always say, oh, it's so divisive. This country is imploding from within. But this is America. I was at a state dinner one time with President Reagan and Tip O'Neill. And Sandra Day O'Connor was on one side, Maureen O'Hara was on the other. It was a great table. But I saw Tip O'Neill and the president kidding each other, you know, having fun with each other. Ideology, 180 degrees. But knowing that those two, more than maybe any two in history, were coming together for the best interests of the country. And that's what I want to do. I'm a uniter. I want to bring people together one step at a time. I'll go back to Washington. I'll meet with all 99 other senators. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. And stick out my hand and say, I want to work with you for the best interests of this country. And we can get it done. And let's make it happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know an important issue on a lot of people's minds is protecting women's sports and their safe spaces. So where do you stand on trans athletes competing in women's sports?
Well, I think it's important to protect the women, obviously. It's clear. It's biological people transgendering, which I think is free will and choice. But in competition, you want to make sure it's safe competition and privacy. And I think we should stand up. I think that men should compete against men, women against women, transgender persons competing against each other, so that we make sure that there is safety and there is privacy.
Well, looking at your response to a recent question, got a bit of an interesting reaction, because you were asked if you would support former President Donald Trump in the upcoming election, if he is, in fact, the candidate for the Republican Party, which I can all safely say I believe that, we all believe he will be. And you said you wouldn't give an answer at that point in time. Why won't you give him your support yet?
Well, I did say I voted for him twice. I thought he was the best person for the job. The first time he went against a person that looked down at Americans, called us deplorables. The second time, a man ran for office and he stayed in the basement and he only came out in prearranged situations. And I always say, I wouldn't have voted for Ronald Reagan if he had done that. So I make my choices on who I feel is going to be the best person for the job. And tomorrow I'll go to the polls and I'll make my choices. And then November 5th, I'll do the same thing. And you know, people of California said, you know, Steve, I like that because, you know, you're talking about the single greatest currency we have, and that's the ability to vote. And you should cherish it. You should make it personal. And when it's all said and done, you know, we the people will speak. And maybe that's why I've also stood up. But the people have been telling me, we want a voice in Washington again. As it was always said, we the people tell Washington what to do. And for a long period of time now, Washington has told the people that their life is great, that they're fine. And it really isn't.
So speaking of presidential candidates, now this is just, you know, at this point, maybe I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, maybe a notion that isn't have any like true grounding quite yet. But there is the idea floating about that Gavin Newsom could end up being the Democratic candidate should Joe Biden not be able to run, decide not to run ultimately. What's your thoughts on Gavin Newsom just in general as governor of the state of California?
Well, Charlie, yeah, you can imagine somebody that, you know, that fields of corn, you know, in the old movie where the players walked out, you know, Field of Dreams. I've walked out of that cornfield now to become a candidate. And this, my position is arguably the single most difficult race in the country because of being a common sense guy against a very progressive history. So I can't worry about anybody else. Hey, things will transpire as it does every day, and you know the news and have the shifting tides of politics in this country, and we'll see what happens. But right now, my single focus is to get through the primary, and then the next nine months, is to outwork my opponents, keep messaging with the people, and in the end, they'll stand up as they will tomorrow, and they have been voting this last month, and send me back to Washington.
I love your sports analogies that you're tying into your political talking points. You know, as a sports fan, it's very interesting. Do you feel like having that sports background really prepared you for a career in politics? Do you see a good amount of overlap in certain different senses?
Yeah, Charlie, you know, we all start out at different levels playing sports. I mean, you did and I did, my kids, grandkids, all of us. And we have certain motor skills we develop, but we develop skills of working together, of playing together, of sacrifice, of hard work, of dreams. You know, I was a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1956 one day, and they were the world champions. And that night, I started dreaming about being a Dodger. And you know what? 13 years later, September 1st of 1969, the Dodgers called up four of us from the minor leagues. And that day I put a Dodger uniform on for the first time and my dream came true. And dreams become goals for us adults, but we take those skills with us. And when we have common respect and civility for each other, and we talk about team building and about keeping this country strong, about remembering the Constitution, the single greatest and strongest document in the world. And we have days where we can touch other people and we can say a prayer together. That's when we are the true America, that shining city on the hill that Reagan talked about. And we want to get back to that. The lights are a little dim now, but I want to turn them back on and bring back the heartbeat of California and the lights on this great country.
Well, I'm sure Californians would also love for you to bring the heartbeat back to the state because California, definitely one of the states that has gone through it, I would say the most out of all of them in the country. It's very much a shame. So much respect for what you've already been able to accomplish so far. We'll see what else you can accomplish as that race draws closer. And I thank you so much, Steve, for your time. It was really nice to speak with you.
Thanks, Charlie. You were great. God bless.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, a big thank you once again to Steve Garvey, and a good luck to him in today's Senate race on this Super Tuesday, with the top two, obviously, as we know, nominees moving on to the race in November. So would love to see Steve Garvey in a position to succeed. He seems like a guy that'll take our country in the right direction. So again, thank you to him for joining the show yesterday. I saw him all over Fox News, by the way. He was a busy man these past couple of days. But since we are on the subject of talking about California, I've got one more added bonus that I want to mention to all of you as it relates to being an illegal immigrant in this country, because you know there are so many perks. Tons of perks here in New York City. We already know the perks are basically endless. I mean, you want to stay at a five-star hotel? No problem. You want a free prepaid credit card? No issue. Cell phone? No problem. How about a flight anywhere in the country? Oh, again, no problem. But let's talk about what's happening in California. As we know, it's one of the most expensive housing markets in the country. Now, the state wants to give 20% interest-free loans on homes to illegals. Fancy that. According to the Los Angeles Times, quote, the California Dream for All Shared Appreciation Loans program that launched last March by the California Housing Finance Agency offered qualified first-time home buyers with a loan worth up to 20% of the purchase price of a house or condominium. An applicant under the program, quote, shall not be disqualified solely based on the applicant's immigration status. And I just want to say they went back and they updated the loan program so that it could include illegal immigrants. They wanted to make sure that they got the perks of this great program, because why shouldn't they, right? 100% of the people obviously marching carefree through our southern border would be first-time homebuyers. So, hey, congratulations to all of them. You can live the California dream for a hell of a lot less than many of the people who were born in this country, who pay taxes and also abide by the laws. But in return, listen up, illegals, you must vote Democrat. This is, of course, after our country inevitably allows you to become citizens, which we all know is going to happen. I just want to ask, did I interpret all that correctly? I think that I did. Okay, everybody, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being here on this Super Tuesday. It is a super day indeed. We've got a lot going on for the rest of the week. We have a spectacular interview coming your way tomorrow. Do I want to give away the details? No, I'm not going to give away the details quite yet, but it is a good one. I'm super excited. This is someone that I've been trying to get on the show for literally months now. It's finally happening, so make sure you're tuning in for that. In the meantime, follow me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have a super Tuesday, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.